big warm welcome to the Clean Energy Crash Course, a special father-daughter duo segment of Flanagan's Eco Logic. I'm Sierra Flanagan, joined by my dad, Ted Flanagan, and most delighted to be here with you today, Dad.
Well, likewise. This is great.
And yeah, we're going to be talking about campus sustainability and specifically spotlighting EcoMotion's work with the Chula Vista School District. So that will be our topic for today. And looking forward to sharing with folks about this story. And my dad was just saying, this was inspired by a dear friend, Michael Totten, who said, geez, you should really tell a story about this story. So let's start high level, because this has sort of been our shared bread and butter working with campuses and sustainability, me on more of the strategic side and you on really the operations. So what makes campuses so unique in their circumstances when we're talking about siting a solar project?
Yeah. And thanks to Michael for nudging us on, like you said. We're spending a lot of time working with school districts, and there's a couple things that when you're dealing with solar that come right to the fore. And the first one is that one of the great financial opportunities when you're installing a solar system, whether it's a homeowner or a business, you can take an investment tax credit. And the investment tax credit for solar has now been extended for a number of years at 30%. And so essentially, if you have a tax appetite, as it's called, a tax appetite, then you can basically have the cost of solar, a solar system, for 70% of what it would have been. And it's even better than that. If you're a corporation, then you can also take what's called accelerated depreciation. And you're able to depreciate your solar asset in an accelerated way. And there's a great financial value to that. And it's typically, 20 or 25% of project costs. So if you have a tax appetite, if you're a taxable entity and you pay taxes and therefore you have, quote unquote, an appetite, then you can have over 50% of the cost of solar paid for through this combination of investment tax credits and accelerated depreciation benefits. Well, guess what? Schools don't have a tax appetite. They don't pay taxes. So, that traditionally has not been, that 55% of cost has not been paid for by the government, has not been available to school districts. Now, there has been a provision in the Inflation Reduction Act that does allow for a 30% transfer direct payment to nonprofits that don't have a tax appetite. But still, you're not getting the full, you're not able to monetize the depreciation benefits. So that's number one. And then what we've found over the years of working with lots of school districts is that maintenance is a huge problem for them. And they don't have the capacity, they don't have the staff to go out and to, repair systems. So they've been really happy that sector, that what we call the K-12 sector, and also municipal buildings have been very happy to engage in another financial arrangement. We've talked about these, the power purchase agreements, where a third party comes in and installs the solar system and owns it and just sells kilowatt hours to the party. That's exactly what we have at Millbrook School, one of our last podcasts we talked about. So those are the big barriers that have been, or the big issues on campuses: lack of tax appetite, lack of maintenance. And then, of course, even if you had a tax appetite, to come up with all that cash, districts are tight, So there's clever ways of getting around that.
Yeah. So tell us about the Chula Vista story as a school district, a non-taxable entity. How did that come to be?
Yeah, it's a fun story that my friend Eric Hall, who runs a consulting company in California, and he's a financial consultant for school districts. He had been working with the Chula Vista Elementary School District for a number of years. And, it's a big district. They have 49 campuses. Chula Vista, for our listeners who are not familiar, is a city in California right along the Mexican border, just south of San Diego and just north of Tijuana, Mexico. So So Eric knew my company's business model, EcoMotion's business model, which is not to sell solar, but to provide consulting services and to serve as an owner's rep. So I was I went down to Chula Vista and met with Oscar Esquivel, who's the business officer at the district. It's really a terrific gentleman. And we started talking about our business model, what we do. And he had been approached, as any entity would be, he had been approached by lots of solar companies trying to sell him solar systems. And he didn't know. And this, again, is typical. Why would a school district have any expertise in solar? He didn't know who to trust. He didn't know who to select. He didn't know anything about the quality of modules or racking or offsetting rate structures or performance guarantees, all the stuff we'll talk about. So he was delighted to meet me and to be introduced to EcoMotion. And he said, what would the first step be? And I said, Oscar, we routinely offer a no-cost analysis. We call it FAST, financial analysis of solar and storage technologies. Let's just take one campus. Let's focus on one campus and see how it pans out. And of course, what happened was Michael Ware and the solar team at EcoMotion did some analysis. And we found out with that one campus, I don't even remember which school it was, doesn't matter. We found out that the economics were really, really favorable, looking really good. And we can tell really quickly, if you got a viable project or not. And they had a very viable project. And I took this back to Oscar and we talked about it. And he said, you think that would be the same on all of our campuses? And I said, yes, I really do. It's the same financial benefits that you would be getting on every campus. He said, what's the next step? I said, let's do it now, an in-depth feasibility analysis of all of the campuses. And so Michael Ware and team went down to Chula Vista for 3 days, went to every campus, looked at all of the opportunities. Where would you put solar? Where would you interconnect it? And we did a feasibility analysis that we realized, my goodness, 49 campuses is a lot. But long story short, if we put solar on all these campuses, and basically not 100%, but 90% coverage of all these campuses, so there's a little bit of room for energy efficiency improvements, then we could save the district tremendous amounts of money. And in fact, if we went the PPA route, we brought in a third party, and of course they need to make some money, that would save the district $60 million over the 25 years. And if they had cash or were given bonding authority, which ended up happening, they would save $88 million. And, Oscar fell off of his chair and asked me to present this to the school board, which we did. And they were just delighted. And off we went to the races with the project.
Wow. So was it really the fact that Oscar didn't know how to navigate all the complexity of the kind of offers coming his way, that he hadn't pursued or even fully flushed out these opportunities? Was that really the block?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a lack of knowledge, a lack of trust, not knowing what questions to ask, what types of panels, what types of inverters, how are you going to mount this? He just didn't have, he's a very, very smart man, and does a great job running his district, and solar was just outside of his wheelhouse. So he was really happy to meet us. And I think the school board was too. Every board member had a question or two, what if this, what if that? And we were able to answer all of their questions. And so, yeah, then the next step after the feasibility analysis and the board approval was to for EcoMotion to write a request for proposals. Mm-hmm. And then we reached out to 24 different solar companies and said, hey, this opportunity is coming down the pike. Keep your eyes open. And we sent out the RFP to all of these companies, asking them for their best shot at the deal. And we got 5 really good proposals back. And then we started that whole comparative process. And then it sort of ended up, we had two incredible companies that were in our shortlisted, both Ameresco, which has done a lot of work across the country and a lot of work in Massachusetts, but across the country, a lot of work in California, and Engie, which is actually a French owned company that also has just done incredible work all over the country and all over the world for that matter. So we were able to bring in a really big player because it was a really big job.
And how many campuses were they scouting?
49. 49.
All 49 of them. Wow.
Yeah, all 49. It was just an incredible thing. And the district office, I guess maybe 47 and the district office. And then there was a campus that was in the planning process, and we were able to solarize that one as well.
And can you give us a sense of how big a system were they looking to install on all these campuses?
Well, at the end of the day, we installed in aggregate, it was 8.1 megawatts. So,
wow.
But it ended up being around 175 to 200 kW per school site.
And the energy they were pulling from, or the electricity, was just from the grid before?
Yeah, they used to buy all their power from San Diego Gas and Electric, and no problem there. And then that changed, and they were now purchasing, as again, about 90% of their power. Well, not purchasing, because I guess I should clarify this. I sort of alluded to it a little earlier, but the voters of the city of Chula Vista authorized a bond measure, and the bond measure paid for all of the solar, and it was like $32 million or $35 million worth of solar investment, and it was all paid by the taxpayers of Chula Vista. So that meant that the school district didn't have to repay the money, and in fact, the savings from the solar over the next 25 years, we had originally estimated $88 million of savings. Now we think it's north of $100 million of savings because utility rates have slightly escalated. So the more the utility power costs, the greater the benefit is from the solar. But big numbers, right?
So tell us a little bit about how that process was facilitated. Was Oscar driving that, or how did all the ratepayers get behind this bond idea?
You know, I don't know that much about that. How much the school had to really promote it. It was very interesting. They had a consultant, and I heard the consultant's presentation. They had a consultant that guides them through that bond process. And before you try to get authorization from the voting public, they do a lot of analysis. And one of the things that really struck me was that only somewhere less than 40%, it might have even been as little as 30% of the people in Chula Vista had a connection with a school district. Only 30% had kids there, or had kids there, or had younger children right. that would be going to school there. But there's a history in many cities, not just Chula Vista, of supporting the school district. And so I thought it was really quite beautiful, really, that everybody in the city recognized the value of doing this, and the value of doing this for the community. Sure, everybody's property taxes rise if you've got a good school district, but that's one of the indirect benefits. But it was this whole notion that I think, we want our kids to be learning in environments that even the facility itself is a teaching experience.
Yeah. So that's amazing. And back to the project side of it. So you ended up going with Engie, or tell us about that next step of selecting the contractor and working with them to oversee the project.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the taking it to market. I mentioned we reached out to 24 companies. We had 5 proposals. SunPower, another big company that many of our listeners will know, Engie, Ameresco, Baker, Schneider Electric submitted proposals. And we had costs coming in. We do a comparative analysis, of course, of all these proposals, very detailed comparative analysis. But costs range from about $3.96 per watt of installed solar to $5.62 per watt. So we sort of measure in dollars per watt for solar. And we had this relatively narrow bandwidth of companies. We ended up choosing Engie, which I think came in at $4.71. That included $7 million worth of operations and maintenance over the next 25 years. So thankfully the bond payers, the taxpayers of Chula Vista, not only paid for about, $28 or $29 million worth of solar, but then also basically endowed it with this terrific O&M contract over the period. So,
and is that a fixed rate of $4.71 kilowatt for 20 years?
Well, that was really just our way. Yes, for 25 years. Yeah, if you take the total cost of the system over 25 years, And then you take the total generation into kilowatt hours or millions of kilowatt hours, and you divide that out, you end up with a levelized cost of energy over that period. Now, that number is, well, that number, it's a good number. It's a good comparative number, but it just got us to a position where we could make a determination. And Engie turned out to be a terrific partner for the district. A lady named Nancy Rorabaugh deserves to be mentioned. She just guided this whole process. Shane Carlson, project manager for Engie. I mean, you know, you can imagine 49 campuses. That's a significant, significant operation. And they had tranches going on. And you imagine for every campus, you've got to finalize the design. And then you've got to deal with permitting, you know, and get what's called DSA approval. That's a regulatory approval for school districts in California. And then, you know, then you're just scheduling and construction and, you know, imagine the coordination with all these campuses and, parents dropping off kids and school buses coming in and kids all over the place. And, you know, it's a really, I give Engie and these solar companies that do this work a lot of credit because they're working around a lot of barriers, a lot of challenges in actual construction on site. But I would say, I think it just went without a hitch all the way through. Some minor details, but essentially all the campuses got built. They're all beautiful. Wow. Some of the superintendents wanted to have, the school superintendents wanted to have shaded structures for kids to have shade when they're eating lunch outdoors or in playgrounds. Sometimes some of the solar ports are covering cars in parking lots, which is of course very attractive in Southern California. So there was a mix. The school district did not want to do any rooftop installations. It was all those solar canopies. Oh, wow. I call them solar ports or car ports, solar car ports that all of us have seen around, and which are very expensive because there's all that steel. That's a much more expensive configuration than going on the rooftop. But you don't have to deal with structural issues and leaking issues and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay. So they didn't touch the rooftops of the schools.
Not at all. Not a single rooftop. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. And so tell us a little bit about, how EcoMotion then interfaces with an Engie and, you know, this big project underway. And, you know, are they doing all the stakeholder engagement, buy-in pieces? Is that...
Yes. And that's a good question. What do we do? And, you can imagine that it's pretty clear to everybody what feasibility analysis, it's an analysis where you're gathering interval data and you're looking at utility bills and the siting issues and the interconnection issues, all that. That's sort of our first step. And then helping a district get a really good contractor on board is what we call procurement support and getting that contract in place. And by the way, these contracts are not minor, right? And there's a contract for the installation, and then there's a contract for the ON operations and maintenance. And then the next phase, which we're getting to now, is this what I call project oversight and quality control. We're not a project manager. That they do all that. They're handling all the scheduling and all the coordination with the school sites.
Engie,
yes. But we're looking over their shoulder. And our charge, our goal, is to meet or beat our clients' expectations. So we want to know exactly what the school district wants. We help them with that. And then we make sure we're in on weekly meetings. We're in on every change order, every change, every barrier, every hurdle, every fire that needs to be addressed. We jump right in and try to help facilitate it.
And so we know about all these solar systems that were stood up, but what about batteries? Are batteries part of the mix?
Yeah, that's a good question, because batteries are part of the mix for a lot of projects, maybe most of the projects we're working on now. What we do when we're in that feasibility stage is we're using a solar financial analysis tool that actually also analyzes for storage. We use a program called Energy Toolbase. It's quite standard in the industry, and it's used across the country, and it's loaded up with rate structures of utilities across the country. And so we routinely test every project for batteries, just as we did with the Chula Vista schools. And frankly, there was just very little benefit. you know, what you really want, if you want to deploy a battery on site and have the most cost effective, you know, hopefully you've got a load profile, you know, the amount of load power you use during the day that's very spiky. And those spikes are very costly in terms of ratcheting demand charges. So if you have batteries on site, they can discharge in 4 nanoseconds and bring that spike down and reduce your demand charges, which are a very significant part of the cost. But school districts don't have load profiles like that. You know, basically in the morning, you know, the school starts up and, you know, it's just sort of off to the races, lighting, and you've got some HVAC on hotter days. But they don't have like an industry might or another thing. They don't have radically different demands. So we did the analysis and showed that for a marginal cost of X, you get a marginal benefit of Y, and it just didn't make any sense. Now, other districts that we've worked with, as you know, purchase batteries for energy resilience, and that's a different value proposition. You know, you're not trying to install batteries to save energy and to save money. You're trying to install batteries in the case that the grid goes down. But Chula Vista didn't have that goal, except at the district office where we spec'd out a microgrid. And we decided to have one microgrid in the district because that's where the school's communications are. That's where the information technologies are. That's also where they had some commercial refrigeration for their kitchens. It was like a centralized place. So we could have one microgrid in the event that the San Diego Gas and Electric grid goes down, have one microgrid there that would provide a modicum of energy resilience that was attractive to the district. So that was... that was also, by the way, included in the cost that I gave beforehand.
And I know that you had mentioned that buses were somehow part of the strategy.
I was kind of driving a few people crazy because I was pushing for this, and I didn't get what I wanted. But this is coming, everybody. I'm sure of it. Well, at the same time that the school was installing solar, the school district had gotten a grant from the California Energy Commission for 10 electric buses. And actually, we became the bus e-bus consultant for the district as well. We had gotten a grant for the buses and all the chargers and all of the costs of interconnecting the chargers to the San Diego Gas and Electric grid. So that was exciting. And those chargers are installed, and we have at the transportation yard, they have 70 buses in general, but they have 10 electric buses running around. And the thing that occurred to me, you know, I think we've talked about vehicle to grid or vehicle grid integration. You know, we've talked about this at the home level that, you know, if you've got an electric vehicle like I do with a 60 or 70 kilowatt hours of energy in the tank, so to speak, the tank, you know, couldn't that be plugged into the home? And couldn't that power the home in the event of a grid outage? The answer is yes, we're getting there. And so I thought, why don't we roll these buses? And if you've got the school buses have, I think it was about 160 kilowatt hours on board. By the way, a metro bus has more like 300 kilowatt hours of electric metro bus. So my thinking was, we have solar at the transportation yard. We're charging all the buses. And then in the event of a grid outage, even if it was at one school site, you could potentially roll an electric bus to a school site, plug it into the building, plug it into the building and power the school. And then if that bus starts to run out of power, you send it back to the transportation yard and it can get recharged with solar. And then you send another one out. We had 10 of these buses. I thought mobile energy storage systems. What a fantastic form of resilience. So that became part of the conceptual planning for the district office microgrid. And the NG engineers were fascinated by it. And I think it's the direction that we're going in. I don't think our microgrid will have that capability, although it might. But that is something that hasn't really been done. But what a great way to potentially have, like I said, mobile energy storage systems that could be deployed into different places. And, you know, of course, if the grid goes down, you know, this district would send the kids home, and we want to have the e-buses capable to send the kids home. And then after that, those electric buses could be used for this resilience opportunity.
I love it. It's a great idea. And while not the centerpiece of the Chula Vista project, definitely getting a taste of it. So ground us in the time frame, like huge project, 49 schools, all these complexities, different stakeholders involved. How long did this take?
Yeah, basically about 2.5 years. I started talking to the district in 2019. We had our contractor selected in 2020. Construction was in 2021, 2022. Things pretty much wrapped up by the beginning of this year, other than this microgrid. I should have mentioned where the microgrid is installed. We're just waiting for a final sign off from the utility, which is very frustrating. And I think a lot of people, a lot of listeners that know about microgrid development in the United States realize that one of the real barriers right now is still getting these grids, microgrids interconnected. The utilities are, you know, it's a new thing for the utilities. They're not ready for it, or they don't particularly want it in many cases. And so, and we're still grappling. But that was, I think, about 2.5 years. It was really a fantastic run. We all celebrated, and we all are hats off. And you know, when you think about what a school district gets, it's not just the financial savings, not just reducing the carbon footprint, but every single kid on that campus will just, solar will just be their norm, right? Every child's norm. All the teachers, all the everybody's proud of the fact that they've gone green. And when, you know, when they hear about the financial savings, you know, that just amplifies, you know, the excitement about the project.
It's so fantastic, Dad. So sounds like a formula for success and something that could be emulated at other within other school districts. Is there a plan in place, or is it happening elsewhere?
You know, this is the using a power purchase agreement is not at all unusual. There are about 1,500 school districts in California, and I'm going to wing it here and say that I bet a third of them, 500, already have solar at this point. And most of those were paid for or were financed through the power purchase agreement, this third-party financing model. Others where they had bond measures. Fortunately, you know, if the electorate was willing, they could come forth and do that. So the model is good, and I would like to drill just slightly into one other thing, which is this whole notion of a performance guarantee, because you know Chula Vista purchased and put out like 36, or the voters of Chula put out $36 million or so, $35 to $36 million for this. Now, who's to say it's going to operate, you know, for the rest of the 25 years, you know, function properly and realize these savings that everybody anticipated. So what we have now is a more mature solar market, and what these solar companies are offering are performance guarantees. And so in the case of Chula Vista, because we have an operations and maintenance contract in place there, I mentioned $7 million of cost, not insignificant. And because the ENGIE has published for us their generation schedule for, you know, here's campus number one in year one, and then here year all the way up to year 25, you know, based on normal degradation of the solar systems, they're going to say, this is what we anticipate over the next 25 years for every single campus. And then guess what? We get a performance guarantee. We extracted, and they offered it, but this is a great thing. A performance guarantee, 100% performance guarantee. So if ENGIE's, the solar systems there on campus, don't deliver that stated amount of output, then ENGIE has to pay the school district for the cost, for the additional cost of buying that power from the grid. So it really supports this. And those performance guarantees, which I think would give a school board tremendous peace of mind, it's a legally binding contract. Those come with power purchase agreements and also cash deals where operations and maintenance contracts are in place. And that's what we put into place. So you ask, can this be replicated? Absolutely, the answer is yes. Chula Vista may have had better economics than other districts. You know, San Diego is a very sunny place. San Diego gas and electric rates are very high. So we certainly had good economics there. But we've seen these models work in many, many school districts. We're right now working with half a dozen school districts on similar projects. And so So yes, we think that the model can be emulated, and we encourage other school districts to at least take a look. Like we did at Chula Vista, we just looked at one campus and had a pretty good indicator of what was going to happen. So the price of solar is low. The tax credits are out there, and we've talked about that. Utility prices are continued to rise, what we call escalate. The tax credits, the bonus depreciation, everything is in place. Now, in California and in other states, there is some lost value now because of changes in net energy metering.
Right.
But there are still major opportunities for major energy cash and environmental savings on campuses. So we certainly encourage all school districts to take a look at this.
Definitely. So for those Oscars of the world and the school district world, what's the first step?
Well, the first step is to find somebody to do an analysis. Now, if you don't want to hire a consultant, I'll be frank, you can go out and get three quotes from, I get three quotes from different solar companies. But if you're a big school district or a big corporation or whatnot, you know, the economics are such that you really want to get somebody on your team. You want what they call a subject matter expert to take a look. But first step is to say, let's explore the opportunity. You know, the Oscars of the world are really busy doing their jobs, and this is another thing. And there have been, you know, there's reasons not to do the next thing unless it's brought to you. But again, take a look at the opportunity and give us a call. I mean, we're happy to do a no cost, you know, single campus analysis just to see what the deal is.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Da. This is super inspiring. I'm glad we're getting this story out to the world. Do you have any final thoughts before we close?
I don't. I love telling the story. Thank you for making it happen. I guess I've mentioned some of the players that really did make this happen. And Oscar Esquivel, again, deserves a great recognition. And Nancy Rohrabaugh and Shane Carlson, you know, my team, Michael Ware, you know, leading this whole project from a consulting standpoint. So just a great, great, great team effort, and something that we're all proud of.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back with another episode of Flanagan's Ecologic soon. Dad, good to see you.
Likewise. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Love you, Tan. Bye.
That's it. Thanks for listening to Flanagan's Ecologic. We'll see you next time.